Country's greatest urban cowboy. But it was not an easy road that he traveled to get there. It was only after becoming a partner in Gilly's Club in Pasadena, Texas, and recording a record locally that went on to become a hit, that Mickey Gilly gained national recognition as a country singer. He'll be performing this March 17th at the Westbury Music Fair in Westbury, New York, and his latest album is called It Takes Believers. Welcome to Midday Edition.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
You know, it takes believers to get ahead in life. It takes people, particularly before you've made it, who will believe in you, who will encourage you, support you. Who were the big believers in you in the past?
I think the biggest believer was probably my wife. She had a lot of belief in me, and the guy I went in business with in Gilly's, he believed in me.
What made him believe in you? What was it about you that?
Well, because I was very successful locally in Houston, and I had a following. I was a local celebrity in the Houston market for quite a few years, and I had a pretty good following. When we opened Gilly's in 1971, it became almost an instant success as far as the local people were concerned. And then, of course, later I began to get national recognition when my first record in 1974 started hitting for me.
Isn't it interesting how it happens in life? Here you wanted to be a recording artist. You struggled. It never was happening. Then at the point in life when you had this partnership in Gilly's, when it didn't matter maybe quite as much, you weren't quite as hungry for it, it just happened.
That's one reason why it happened, Claire. It happened because I got to the point in my career that I didn't think that I was going to ever have a recording career. Mm-hmm. And I had literally thrown in the towel. But I walked in the studio to make a couple of songs to promote Gilly's, mm-hmm. thinking that maybe, you know, the Houston market might hear it a few times on the radio. And when they did the commercials on Gilly's on the local radio stations, maybe they'd play the record, you know. Lo and behold, I was very relaxed when I walked in the studio. In fact, the side that hit was actually cut for the B-side. And it was an old song that I never dreamed would be a hit because my cousin Jerry Lee Lewis had overlooked it and never had recorded it. And we used to sing when we was kids growing up.
And that was also a problem for you because when you first started out, people started comparing you to Jerry Lee Lewis.
Well, it was natural they would do that,
yeah.
Because we grew up in the Assembly of God Church in Fairhaven, Louisiana. We both played piano and sang in church. And that was one of the things that the style of piano that he created back in the 50s sort of rubbed off on myself, and also our other very famous cousin, evangelistic Jimmy Swaggart.
What was it about this family that all of these singers, performers, people who would go out and make a name for themselves?
Well, I don't know. You know, we was playing the music just to more or less entertain ourselves. And of course, Jerry Lee went to Memphis and hit with Crazy Arms and a whole lot of shaking going on. And of course, Reverend Jimmy Swaggart went around, you know, doing his evangelistic ministry. And lo and behold, you know, it took me about 15, 16 years before I began to make any nudge toward success in music.
But I had read that when you went to a Jerry Lee Lewis concert and you talked with him afterwards and he had a wad of $100 bills, that was when you decided this was a pretty good business to get into.
Well, let me tell you what, I was doing construction work, and you know, when it rains in Houston, you don't work. And I was doing construction work in Houston. Jerry Lee had just released a whole lot of shaking going on, and I had the pleasure of taking him to the airport. And when he reached in his pocket to buy his ticket, I never seen that much money because, I mean, we both came from, you know, real, real poor families.
The interesting part, though, is you went on to become a very successful businessman as well. In addition to Gilly's, there's the Western Wear, there's syndicated radio. Did you always have a good business sense, or is that something you developed as you went along?
I think the thing has happened for me because of my manager and business partner, Mr. Cryer. He has a way of looking in the crystal ball and seems to see what's going to happen in the future. Just like installing the mechanical bull in Gilly's. That was one thing that really turned everything around for us, because that's how we got the film, The Urban Cowboy.
And the article in Esquire, which led to the film, The Urban Cowboy.
It led to the article, of course.
Done very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you.
And have a good concert at Westbury Music Fair on Saturday.
Well, thank you.